All right, brother. So yep. As you know,
yes,
I had a severed ties. Not even like a. Well, I got fired.
Okay.
For no reason from the sign shop.
Oh, well, they're lost clearly.
Yeah. Thanks, bro. Thanks, yeah. Man. That was the sweetest thing someone's told me today.
You're welcome. Keep it coming.
But all right. So, and not that I saw it coming, but I will bask in the sunrise that I wasn't a part of it, which is going to be the incredible failure. Not going to be, which has taken place.
It's already happening.
It's happening. The dissemination of the sign shop.
Womp womp.
And I don't want to go into exactly why, but if you're a member of the community, you probably already know. So, to those two-faced backstabbers that Oof. Sat silently and encouraged my ending, I would like to offer some advice for looking for a job through a pandy.
Yeah, yeah, this pandy is no joke.
Yeah, so it's hard to find a job.
Yeah.
And so here's some tips for those assholes of how to find a job during a pandemic. Number one. You actually got to be dope at what you do.
Yeah, you should probably find a job that you're actually good at.
Yeah, and not to say that you're not good at your job, but if your previous employer was like insanely supportive of all your failures, that doesn't look good in the application process.
Yeah, you can't word that on a resume.
Number two. Don't be known for throwing folks under buses. Not fucks, folks. Don't be known for throwing folks under the bus.
Yeah, that's a bad reputation to have.
It's a bad characteristic.
Yeah. Also cannot put that on a resume.
Number three. Respect results in lieu of massaging the process.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? It was constantly like, you know, you got to be aware of, what are they called? The microaggressions.
Yep.
Those don't exist in the real workplace.
Yeah, and if they do, it doesn't go well for you.
Exactly. Number four. Four. Sorry, I skipped one because I realized like I might have been angry when I wrote that one, so I didn't say it out loud. Number four, I apologize. Take responsibility.
Oh, yeah. That's just general, you know, human mean.
And so now I'm at number five.
Okay, number five. Yep.
If your last name is Campbell or McGaw, lie.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the background on that one, but if it's coming from you, I'm pretty sure it's a solid number five.
Yeah, it's very specific advice for very specific, you know, job hunting during a very specific pandy.
Yeah.
Which is the way I say pandemic now. Pandemic's scary, so I just go pandy. Anyways, imagine
I want to see the base. What's the relation between getting a handy during a pandy? That's a thing.
Oh,
right?
As long as she's wearing a mask.
The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh shit! Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to town.
Downtown.
Yeah. They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Poundtown. Yeah, awesome.
Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Poundtown grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping $1 in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name's Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who has made this show everything you know and love, Motion.
Oh, that's the second sweetest thing.
Oh, man, I'm on a roll today. I know.
That might actually need to take precedence over the first. That might be, well, it's the second sweetest. No, it's the first sweetest, second sweet thing. Anyways.
I lost count.
Yeah, it's the second sweet thing, but the top sweetest.
Of all time.
It's first seed, maybe of all time. Cool. I'm going to have to go back through my other 7 sweet things people have told me in my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks, man.
You're welcome, bro.
I don't believe it, but thank you.
Well, in terms of being a short sponsor, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Honey's Sweet Company. So if you want to follow them on Instagram, it's Honey's, H-O-N-E-Y-S, underscore sweets, underscore C-O. It's a good friend of mine, and apparently they have a relative who runs chocolate bombs and all kinds of chocolate goodies and all.
Oh, really?
All that swag. So shout out the Instagram Honey's Sweet Company. I'm looking at their Instagram right now. They only have three posts, but I'm looking at like
they all look delicious. I bet.
Delicious chocolatey goodness.
Those are the best. I had my first what do they call hot chocolate bombs, hot cocoa bombs?
I've heard of these. What the hell is it?
Is that, aren't you saying that they make some of those as well?
I don't know what it is, but you know, if you're a short sponsor, I'll say whatever the hell you want. I don't even know
yeah, absolutely.
What I'm talking about, but it, you know, you pay me to say it, I'll say it.
yeah. So, it's like a bath bomb, but it's not soap. It's a deliciousness, and you put in your hot cocoa, and the hot cocoa melts through the hard candy exterior, and then boom, marshmallows explode, bro.
Whoa,
heaven happened in your cup, bro.
So a bath bomb, but it's hot
like
chocolate?
A bath bomb. No, it's like a bath bomb, but it's real chocolate. And you put it in your hot chocolate, and then the hot erodes the real chocolate, and then marshmallows mysteriously, how do you say when it comes out of nowhere?
Appear?
Yeah, like that. I was thinking of I know it's a better word, but I don't have my thesaurus out yet.
Okay. It's bath bomb tech.
It's bath bomb, exactly. Exactly. Bath bomb knowledge, like evolved. Delicious chef awareness.
Oh, that's pretty swaggy.
So it's very 2021. It's very 2021, bro.
All right, I'm going to hit up Honey Sweet Co. and give me some of these hot cocoa bombs you speak of.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like magic in a cup.
It does. And if they don't make it, I hope they learn because we just plugged the shit out of it.
True that. So how was Christmas being of hot cocoa? Did you load up on your hot cocoa?
Yeah, no, I didn't have any hot cocoa. I think I had two or three 40s and Mickey's. You know,
did you guys do your Christmas Eve hot cocoa thing? Did you guys do some version of that?
Yeah, we did spaghetti this year. We did spaghetti again from Thanksgiving to Christmas because it was, truth be told, easy to create a ton of.
A lot of, so, yeah, this is true. I accidentally make way too much spaghetti when I make dinner.
Every time. Like seriously, it's better the next day.
That's true. Cold spaghetti, to throw that shit in the microwave with some Parmesan cheese.
Why is that?
Chef kiss.
I almost felt bad giving it to homeless people. I'm like, I should have made this for you yesterday. You know, unfortunately, it's fresh. I'm sorry, guys. So, yeah, we did do that with the kiddos. We actually didn't do it because Christmas Eve was Thursday. We did it Wednesday night. We did it Eve of Christmas Eve.
Okay.
How was your Christmas, bro?
It was cool.
Talk about it. I saw you guys stayed somewhere fancy. Is that right?
We went to the Mission Inn out in Riverside. You know, they have the glorious Christmas decor, which I feel like was a little bit subdued this year, but, you know, understandably so for 2020. But
yeah.
It was nice. You know, there's a lot going on in our personal lives and in regards to COVID, and we thought the best thing to do is probably, you know, we just need a staycation. Let's just get out of Dodge. So we did that. So we did that, and it was beautiful. You know, it really just dawned on us that what you always knew in your heart, and that Christmas is whatever it is you want to make of it. It doesn't have to be big, large, luxurious, lavish Christmases. As long as you have, you know, your loved ones nearby and you have whatever small decor that warms your heart, that's good enough. And that's exactly what we had. We had a little tiny tree, our presents under the tree, and we got some donuts and hot cocoa and loaded up the Baileys in it. It was beautiful. It was great.
Hell yeah. And baby boy is achieving the age of maybe not understanding, but appreciation, absorbing, like taking in the information and seeing the things. How was he this year? I know he probably lit, right?
He became our official gift wrapper unwrapperer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He just loved tearing paper and being encouraged to do it. So once he knew he could get away with it, he was all about it. So even like our gifts, he was unwrapping our gifts for us.
Next year, he's going to be smart enough to wrap himself up. Like, I didn't get you guys anything, but here I am. Throw a little bow on top.
Yep.
We, so we went, did the Christmas Eve thing, and spoiler alert, Santa's not real. All right. I should have counted out loud. Fuck, I didn't count out loud. Anyways.
That's okay.
So while we were over at the in-laws for Christmas Eve, which is the house next door. I came in and unloaded Santa's load.
Nice.
And then we came home and Desi was like, oh my God, all these presents were here. I was like, oh look, they're from Santa. So we did it all Christmas Eve. Then the next morning he thought Santa was going to make two trips. I'm like, you weren't even good enough to deserve the first trip. What are you talking
Who
about?
Gets two trips? Who thinks that's normal?
Like, I'm not going to open presents on Christmas morning. I'm like, yeah, bring your other ones back. I'll wrap them again.
Redo.
I'm like, yeah, no, it said from Santa and you opened it last night. Like it was clear as day, bro. And he just was like, yeah, but it's Christmas morning. And I was like, you know what, dude, you got a whole nother set of parents you haven't seen yet. So maybe he left them over there.
Get the addresses mixed up.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. He hit us before them. What do you want? I should have made you go to bed looking at presents that had tagged Santa on them and then wished you a good night's sleep. You can open them in the morning, right? That would have been fucking work. That would have worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I think that's how it goes. I think it's
do you crazy. Have,
go ahead.
You have any cool, like, remembering, like, the faith of Santa stories growing up or?
Oh, yeah. Totes. Yeah, I remember arguing classmates. I think it was like second grade, and we got into this heated argument of whether or not Santa's real. And I was all about it. I was about to throw bows, not like Christmas bows, but these elbows.
Yeah, hell yeah! Oh, dude, yeah. If anybody doesn't follow me, but I had posted, if anybody needs any last minute gift ideas, they could come get. You know, everybody was putting these fists. Mine was like these kids.
Yeah,
y'all can have these kids. When I was a kid, my brother and I, the house we lived in National City in San Diego, it had a central heating, you know, so it had like that big ass radiator in the middle of the house.
Yep.
And then you kind of had little vents on the floor throughout the house.
Yep.
So the one in the hallway heated the second half of the house as well as the living room. And my dad's bedroom was on the other side. So he couldn't see what my brother and I were up to. So we would run and look through that radiator vent and try to see Santa's feet. And like, we would spend our Christmas Eves right there, like looking for Santa. The other one was in fifth grade. I guess the kindergartners at this elementary school that I went to would write letters to Santa. And then the fifth grade teachers would absorb those letters and ask out loud to the fifth grade class, anybody here still believe in Santa? Talk about peer pressure, bro.
Like, that's when you like you scan the classroom to see who's gonna raise their hand first to join in.
Exactly. So like three kids still had the balls to keep their hands up. True Christians, I call them true Christians.
Oh, that was me for sure. I totally raised my hand.
So she goes, all right, can you three come with me? And I was like, wait, are they gonna go see Santa? Maybe I should raise my hand. You know, like, so they put them, I'm assuming, back with the kindergartners. Well, we responded to the kindergartners' letters as Santa Claus. And I just thought, like, I remember that. I'm like, this is a sweatshop. This is a little Oregon Trail sweatshop you guys are running.
The first thing you should know with anything is never to trust kids with providing the correct response.
Yeah.
I could just imagine these fifth graders responding to kindergartners, like, you know, fuck your Xbox, you know?
But maybe in that moment of, like, insane, like, crush, you're just devastated that you've been hit with the fact. Your teacher's telling you Santa's not like your intentions are true. So maybe they're like, we have 30 minutes to get them to return these letters before they like that confusion and guilt and hurt turns into like anger and, you know, mean-spiritedness. And so I think it was a lot like the SATs where they're like, drop your pens. You know?
Do you feel there's an appropriate time to break the news to kids?
It would have to be a stage, not an age. And
stage,
you know,
not an age. That's a good one. Write that down, kids.
Right? That's the name of this week's episode. And yeah, I don't know, because I've seen now, you know, having Vinny his whole life and then having the boys at the age at which I got them, it's no joke, dude. They all develop at their own rate. Like, and then when you have older siblings tugging along, you develop quicker. Excuse me, I had a hiccup. I grew up with a very young uncle, so I was way more mature than I should have been.
Right.
Even then, friends who had, you know, older siblings that are 2 or 3 years older than them. My sibling essentially was 9 years older than me.
Right.
And we kicked it, man. We kicked it. We went to fucking music video shoots and, you know, gangster shit.
90s were a hell of a time.
What were we talking about?
No idea, but it's difficult to find, you know, funds for your Christmas spending. So everyone's out here during the pandy trying to do the best they can. And there's an EMT, I believe, out in New York, or at least the East Coast, who made an OnlyFans. They made an OnlyFans to make ends meet. So the New York Post interviewed this person for an article and then outed the person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the article gained steam, and then people got upset, not just because that, you know, the situation at hand is that an EMT, a lifesaver out there, has had to make an OnlyFans to make ends meet, but the New York Post is out here shaming them, sex shaming them for work, essentially.
You know, if you still work for a newspaper, that's a huge indicator you're already out of touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real shame here is that the 23-year-old, she's couldn't survive off her own salary as a medical worker. And the story headlined, NYC medic helped make ends meet with racy online fan's side gig, and stated that she was not secretive about her online exploits and that she had the audacity to include her last name in her social profile. And it just I wanted to bring up this article because, you know, yet again, I feel like we need to have this conversation of sex work is work. What's the big deal?
And also, like, we don't even know the slimiest part of this conversation yet, because she was not approached that way. You know, she probably was approached to be, like, celebrated or, you know, and then they're just like, well, this is going to get more clicks. Fuck her.
Pretty much.
And then, you know, this is a small example of the widespread distrust with our media and where we get our news from. We're tired of shit like that, dude. Like, quite frankly, that shit's done. And yeah, it's like, there's nothing illegal about an OnlyFans. I don't like it because those bitches never bought our mixtapes growing up. So I'm not subscribing to your shit, Sheila.
Would you feel uncomfortable? Let's say, like, someone, a profession that comes into question as far as morality goes. Let's say, you know, you have your grade school teacher, fifth grade teacher, and she has an OnlyFans.
You know, I would.
Would that bother you?
I would not the OnlyFans. I was answering your original question. Is the morality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any immorality with OnlyFans. Now, if that teacher involves a student, obviously.
Well, yeah, that changes
there's
things.
An issue there. You know what I mean? But and also, can we have the conversation? EMTs are way underappreciated in this country.
I think all medical staff have been underappreciated, because I mean, you think of like first responders at the like baseball games, hockey games, whatever the fuck, right?
I mean,
you know, you talk about first responders, respect the military, and then you have healthcare workers that really are running the hospitals, working ridiculous shifts, have not been celebrated in this manner, and they're left out. But even then, I think police officers, firefighters, military. There's a high degree of respectable professions that are completely underpaid, including teachers and medical workers.
Well, and I went more specifically fiscally, because there's like plenty of people in the medical field that make great money. My wife does what she does. It's not a high-risk job. No one's life is really in danger. She's very important in the operating room. I'm not denying that.
Sure.
But she makes good money doing it. But EMTs specifically, throughout most of this country, are minimum wage, and they're told they make up for it in overtime. But it's just like, no, dude. I am worth my hourly pay if that's how you get paid.
Yeah.
And I mean, dude, I wouldn't know how many overdoses they respond to. How about not overdoses? How about drugged up people that are still active?
Yep.
How many hurt, how much blood they see during COVID? Like, I can't think of a motherfucker that hazard pay is more in their job description as full time. You know what I mean?
Now that you're bringing it to light, I'm not completely familiar with how much they make. I presume because they're, like, you know, essentially mobile doctors in a sense, that they would be paid handsomely. But if they're not, that is an absolute travesty.
They're on average minimum wage.
That
on
is
average
ridiculous.
Throughout the country. If not minimum wage, maybe a dollar or two over.
That is absolutely ridiculous. If that's true. Now, that is, so yeah, so if this EMT wanted to make an OnlyFans, number one, they need to supplement their income, absolutely. But the fact that they, you know, if anyone has an OnlyFans, because of the fact that they have an OnlyFans, I mean, no one should be shamed about it. No one should be shamed into exploring their sexuality, enjoying their sexuality, or making money off their sexuality.
Yeah, and
I get it.
And everyone who has an OnlyFans, it's not to say they need the money. Some of them might just feel like celebrating themselves.
Right.
You know, and to be fair, this is our OnlyFans, except we don't got that kind of fire, so we just do it with our mouths. You know what I mean? So click Very subscribe, much. Share with your friends, bitches.
Yeah, think of our Venmo as an OnlyFans. Please donate.
Oh, yeah, I did want to say, if that girl, the EMT from New York, if she wants us to give out her OnlyFans, we'd love to. Just drop $1 in the short sponsorship, and we'll hit you up here.
Yeah. If you need promo on your OnlyFans, let us know. We'll totally share.
Yeah. By the way, we're a social nuisance podcast, in case you want to get that drawn on one of your titties or something for your next episode.
Yep.
I still don't know how OnlyFans work. I actually want to visit. I'm not going to do it here now, because I don't want it in my browser menu, because my wife looks at my shit. But I'm going to go to the library or something. I don't even know what the interface looks like. Like, I it's got to be clean cut, right? Like, it's caught. I don't know. I just, when I think of like apps and pages, I think of Domino's. They have the best pizza app.
Okay.
Like, OnlyFans must be that of like Naked Girls Next Door, right?
You got to like reach the standard of pinnacle apps, and that's Domino's.
Yeah. Like, Domino's pizza is mediocre, let's be, you know, truth be told, but it's the easiest ordering system. Like, I don't know how to order pizza anymore, like when we were kids. Remember, we used to call, what are the specials? And they would just run them.
Yeah, it's true.
That's the worst. Sorry, I went off on a tangent.
No, that's a beautiful tangent. I'm totally, now I'm encouraged to try out the Domino's app.
It's so good. And we completely forgot about that bitch's OnlyFans. quick question.
Yeah.
If retails are supposed to be at 20%, how come nobody's regulating parking lots? I go through the mall to get to my house because it's like a short alley instead of taking mall traffic from the main street.
Right.
And mall parking lot, max capacity.
No, that's true. I saw like news coverage and they're like flying over like the local Target and they're just packed. I was like, that doesn't look like it's 20%.
Exactly, right? Like,
who wants to be the guy counting at the door? Letting people in, and you're like, oh, you know what? You can't come in. Are you going to really tell a soccer mom that she can't come into Target right now?
Yeah, and let's be honest. Some people are more of a percent than other people. Like, you can't say this 400-pound dude is the same percent as that fucking 7-pound baby. It's not the same percent, bro.
The airlines do it all the time, I guess.
No, they don't. They make them buy 2 tickets.
Really?
Yep, so they're twice the percent on the airplane.
Do they measure your waist size, or do they weigh you?
I think it's kind of assumed? On you. Yeah, it's like the suitcase. If you do it wrong, you're fucked when you get here, bro. I just think like there's so much power in parking lots, and nobody wants to admit that. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, you could totally do it yourself and just take out some cones and go put some cones out, because everyone listens to cones without any real like direction. If you see a cone out, you're like, oh, I can't park there.
I have a funny cone story.
Oh, please hit it.
All right. Well, and this is what's great about our listeners. Like, you could tell we didn't know we were going to come up with this, but you guys are going to get to enjoy a stupid thing I did in my youth. And hopefully the limit of statute, what's limit of statute?
I always assume it's 10 years.
All right. Yeah, it's passed. Anyways.
Statute of limitations.
Thank you. A friend's father needed construction cones, and he goes, I'll give you guys $2 a cone that you go out and bring back. Saying, I'm going to hire you guys to steal. I just got my license. My first car was a second car was a Chevy S10. So my best friend, shout out to Andrew, was home. Fuck, did I just tell out whose dad? Oh, anyways, Andrew's dad would love me telling the story anyways. So paid us $2 a cone. And Andrew hung out the side of the truck and held onto a little rail we had put. And we drove by construction sites and he just plotted cones out and threw them over his shoulder. Right.
Yeah.
So we come back home that night with like 250 cones, thinking we made $500. And he goes, Dix, I need like 10 cones. So he gave us the $20. And we went back to the first construction site and gave them all the other cones from all the other construction sites. But yeah, that's my cone story.
Well, you got to admire the ambition.
Yeah, he said $2 a cone.
Two young men trying to make some cash. And they just overexceed expectations.
I can't imagine, too, like, honestly, like, the arrogance of being young. We knew we were doing something wrong, but, like, cones at that age look like public property. Like, you don't really think someone bought that cone.
Oh, yeah.
And it probably is expensive. Oh, and, like, if a cop pulled us over stealing cones, like, I would immediately assume that I got to talk my way out of this, and I don't know how I would do it.
Well, you just have to take the cones that don't have, like, property of on them. If they're just blank cones.
I was literally going 10 miles an hour next to construction sites. Andrew hanging out the back. We're like Pac-Man, bro.
That's funny. But yeah, cool. I mean, take those cones and you lay them out in a parking lot. You could even lay them out like in a driving test configuration and people would totally adhere to it.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny? I'm not the one. I'll move a cone. I'm like, I sell these things at work. Like,
I've totally moved cones.
Yeah, I sell these to idiots all day long. You just fucking move it. Trust me, the guy who put it here is not any smarter than you. And then your car gets stuck in wet concrete.
Yeah, worth it.
That'd be hilarious.
Totally worth it. And that just kind of brings to light, you know, sometimes we don't have the greatest amount of smart people in the world, which is this next story is good news then. So for the first time in centuries, the world population is set to decrease. That's good news.
Right? High five COVID.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily COVID. The world's population currently stands at around 7.8 billion people. Now, back in my day, I believe in like middle school, they were like, oh, there's like 4 billion people on the earth. I was like, wow, that's a lot.
I was going to say, that's
7.8.
Like,
damn.
That's 7 billion too many.
we need Thanos. Line one. The number is forecasted to grow over the next few decades and peak in the year 2064 at around 9.7 billion people.
Imagine the wars.
But before falling to 8.8 billion by the year 2100. So that's kind of something to look forward to. I mean, we won't be here, but you know.
I mean, theoretically, we could be here.
Oh, yeah, true, true.
Like science and medical. Well, the reason I said high five COVID is not that COVID's knocking people off. It's that it stops strangers from fucking for a year.
I don't know. The quarantine babies are starting to arrive. I know some friends who got pregnant during quarantine, and now the baby's coming like in the next month or so.
But people they were already with, right? Or hopefully, assuming.
Yeah, this particular situation.
Stranger babies. You know where Hitler came from.
Oh, gotcha.
Let's be honest, guys. Stranger babies of Uber. That's, you know, you can't have stranger babies. We got to stop doing that shit.
That's true. I support that.
That's actually... That's going to be the name of my next comedy special. My first comedy special. If I ever have a comedy special, Stranger Babies.
Product of a stranger baby. The last time that global population declined, it was in the mid-14th century due to the Black Plague. But this will be the first time population decline is driven by fertility decline as opposed to events such as a pandemic, famine, or war. That's pretty fucking crazy, man. So the reasons behind the global population decline are complex, although... It's underpinned by a general trend, by get this, towards lower birth rates driven by female empowerment and education and access to contraception.
Exactly. Actually, that's where I was headed. There was a class that I took at our where we fell in love first, Mount SAC, that half the class was about where female empowerment came from. And it was definitely contraceptive because it gave the woman the power of picking her man. Whereas before, dude would just unload in you. And kind of culture had it as you were stuck with him or you were shamed.
That's true.
With contraceptive, which came out of like the 40s and 50s, that women could go on their own. That's where all of the like female empowerment came out of, you know? And I thought for sure that not just that, but coupling it with easier access to education. And then just overall respect of women over the past, I would say 20 years almost, right? Like,
I mean, you could look back at any generation and definitely find a figurehead. But I think this is really pretty badass. I mean, it just goes to show how much, you know, hashtag pussy power, right? Female empowerment education.
You know, if these jackasses predict the weather, we know they're going to be wrong. So for what it's worth, I hope they're right.
Absolutely. But,
you know.
Yeah, if there's more female education and towards the realization of like, yeah, this guy right here, he's probably going to be great in bed, but I do not want to reproduce with him.
See, but I don't know if that's where that education happens because they make terrible decisions about the men they sleep with. I'm one of them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it is essentially true that a woman knows within like 10 seconds whether or not she'd fuck you. It's only up to you to like talk your way out of it. Unless you're one of the guys she wouldn't fuck, then you're fucked anyways. Then you're climbing uphill.
That's true.
That's a tough climb. But yeah, I don't know. So like the other night, my wife and I were laying down and I was talking about like, we're looking at our wedding pictures. We're like, that person's not around. That person's not around. That person. But they're not around because of our choice. Like, well, we don't want them around.
Right.
And I was like, you know, that's not necessarily bad to like shrink your circle. Like, I think we removed some really bad people out of our life. Right. And I go, but you know what? There were some people that I really thought were good people. And it turns out, you know, as time will tell, they're terrible people. Mm-hmm. And I go, you know, and I believed this before I met my wife. I have a bad picker. I don't pick good. So essentially, I knew the next girl I was going to fall in love with, I was going to let her pick me. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's kind of what we need to do with our friends. I go, you know what, babe? I'm not picking friends anymore. Half a second later, I'm like, you know what? You suck too, though. You're terrible at picking friends. So let's just be us, and then whoever kind of gravitates towards us, you know?
Whoever keeps sticking around, I guess they're our friends now.
But she goes like, what the fuck? You were just shitting on you, now you're shitting on me. I'm like, no, I'm being real with me, and I'm being real with you. Let's stop picking people. We got bad pickers.
I think that's where the power of positive thought comes into play. You know, you think good things will happen. Unless you classify those positive thoughts as toxic positivity. Have you heard about this?
Toxic positivity?
Toxic positivity. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, I wanted to come. Let me be that real quick. I don't know what it is exactly, but it's been so many episodes since I complimented your segue ability. I'm sorry. You're phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
Roll on.
That's the nicest thing someone has said to me today. Okay, so toxic positivity. What do you think that means?
I guess it would be that you're like annoyingly positive. No. That can't be that, because that wouldn't be toxic. What toxic positivity would be in my head is that you're so positive you give bad advice or bad intentions come across. Not bad intentions, but bad, I don't know, energy or whatever it is. Like, you're not being authentic, because it's more important to be positive. And in there, you can get some, loss of translation.
You're kind of on the right track. You're on the right track. So according to...
I was watching you the whole time. Just watch me struggle through that. It was so funny. You're like, he's... Nope, he's gone. Oh, wait, he's... Maybe.
According to Stephanie Preston, who is a PhD professor of psychology at the University of Michigan, she said when people...
Michigan doesn't have a university. Sorry, go ahead.
When people use or demand positive emotions or optimism in a way that causes people to feel oppressed or disregarded, that's toxic positivity. So it ranges from people actively trying to maintain their own spirits or sticking their heads in the sand forcefully preventing others from voicing uncomfortable concerns. No matter how well-meaning, such blind positivity can feel repressive or invalidating to others. So example, when you're going through a tough spot and it's like, you know, I'm having such a rough day. You know, the COVID has been such a drawback for me, and 2020 sucks balls. And you're just going through the motions, right? And someone automatically comes out of nowhere and says, hey, everything's going to be fine. You're okay. I'm sending good vibes, sending thoughts and prayers.
thoughts and prayers. T's and P's, bro.
Yeah. So when you have like friends who are well-intentioned, but they're trying to suppress your pain with hyper-happy statements that wasn't helpful at all, you just kind of made it worse. That's toxic, because you're coming off as ignorant. Like, I'm trying to voice my displeasure with life or whatever it may be, and you're just coming off so blatantly like, you're fine, everything's good, life is good, just focus on the positive. That type of shit, that can be toxic positivity.
It's like a Mormon wife. That's probably toxic positivity. Like, no, it's okay, I'm all right with it, this is fine.
I was like, what?
I just sensed, like, from wife two to like so on, toxic positivity across the board.
What do you think that the first wife goes through in that situation? You know, like,
your first wife,
and all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Hey, what do you think about polygamy? Let's get a second wife.
That's if you got tricked into being a Mormon.
Okay.
But if you were like Mormon born and raised, you know that that's coming. And if you get to be someone's first wife, that's like, dude, that's like the invention of bread, right? Like, you're like, I'm the shit. Like, I'm not someone's second. Imagine having to be like someone's sixth wife. You'd be like, really? This is where God put me? Wife number six? She probably lives in the shed or something. You know, like, she's got the youngest kids. The older ones just bully them. And like, I don't know if they're your cousins or your brothers, bro. I don't really know what to tell you. I'm wife number six. Go ask wife number one.
But at that point, that's when you just hit them up with like, you know, hey, everything's going to be fine. Just think positive vibes.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're living in a reservation in Mexico. You know, like, you're like, what the? I thought I was in Utah. I don't know, man.
I think I might have perpetuated some toxic positivity in my day, because I think I do try to be positive. I do try to be optimistic. but I always try to be mindful of people when they're going through a tough spot. I don't want to blindly just say, hey, you know, just throwing out positive vibes your way. Cause I do that. I do say that, but it's uncomfortable. Cause it's sometimes, you know, when you have a friend like saying, oh, I'm going through a tough time, you know, my mother has cancer or my family member just has COVID and they're having a tough time. You know, what do you say to them other than like, hey, I'm just thinking of you and good vibes.
Yeah.
What else can you say in those situations?
Two things. First of all, toxic positivity is one thing I can assure you I've never been accused of. Wishes.
Not positive.
Yeah, I get toxic all the time. Oh, hilarious. A car drove by me the other day. It said, tengo hijas tóxicas. I thought that shit was great. It's saying I have toxic daughters. It just was a sticker on the window of his car. Like, he just felt like he had to advertise that. That was great. Oh, but the other thing. So a friend of mine had posted on Instagram about their mom being ill. And I was like, hey, get better, mamas. Immediately comes, it's stage 4 cancer. She's not going to get better. I'm like, oh, well, you kind of set me up. Right?
That's true. If you're not going to give us the full story, how can
Don't ask for well wishes.
That's true.
You know, like, I don't know. And the story ended terribly. Obviously, we all know what happened.
Spoiler alert.
I think she listens. I love you.
I'm sorry. That was very inappropriate. Yeah.
But hey, hopefully you smiled. You know me. And yeah, that's on you. Now I think about it, you should have did that to me. I told you I wouldn't.
This is where we famously go off the rails in the most dumpster fire way fashion.
Beautiful. Hey, we're not laughing at that. We're laughing at this.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. I haven't. Jesus, I got lightheaded.
That was good.
Oh my god. I had a quick question. I know.
Oh, yep.
If you had, I had this thought the other day. Oh fuck, I'm trying to get my brains. I already was dizzy because the story I sent you on Instagram. I watched the extended version right before we did the show. Fuck, you gotta watch that extended version.
Oh, okay, cool. I only watched the clip.
Yeah, the clip was already off the rail. So if there was somebody, either directly in your life or indirectly, that you could sue without any, reasonable cause or like, it stemmed from a story I read. I don't remember the story exactly. Oh, I know what it was. A girl was dating a dude. He promised to marry her in 10 years. 10 years later, he didn't marry her. So she took him to court to sue him. He was supposed to marry me. And the judge was like, you're an idiot. Like, we can't do anything about that. Like, you have cause to be upset, but there's nothing as a judge I can do for you. I can't make him marry you and there's no liability. So I was thinking, how cool would it be if there was someone in your life that you could just like take to court for some irrational, not even irrational. That's irrational. She's upset. Thing that there's no like, there's no concrete base to. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
No foundation.
I totally got one. Yeah.
Who you got?
Oh, my older cousin, Stephanie.
All right. Talk about it, brother. Talk about it.
So out of all the grandkids on my mother's side of the family, my older cousin, Stephanie, is older than I am. And then it's me and then the rest of the grandkids. I have always felt in my heart and hearts that I should be the oldest. I'm just, I have more wisdom. I'm more pretty. I'm just the heir to the throne of greatness. And I feel like I've always been held back because she was older by like a few months. Daisy's over here laughing at me, but these are real feelings. These are real feelings.
Yeah. And I would like to, from the outside looking in, thank Stephanie's you. Very pretty as well, respectfully.
Yeah, she's gorgeous, but you know, I'm just, a hair prettier.
For grandkids, like your grandparents, you guys have a beautiful family.
Thank you.
You all are like, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have no justification in court whatsoever, but if I could sue someone for no apparent reason, that's what I'm going with.
You know what? I'm changing mine now after I've heard your story. I was with this girl in high school, in all seriousness, a serious high school relationship. And at the time, it still matters to me. It's always kind of been important to me to be with like the prettiest person in the group.
Sure.
And at that time it was like cousins. I was like, I want, when we go to the family party, I want to be with the prettiest girl.
Right.
I don't want to go with you and then be like looking at your cousin. That's fucked up. And I'm shallow, so I'm letting you know beforehand. I like to be with the prettiest cousin. She said she was. She was not, in fact, sir. She was like seventh prettiest cousin.
At tops.
Dude. And the family has, and the family had an abundance of cousins, I might add. But I was like, yeah, you know, it is kind of weird that you're top 10. Like, that, I don't know how many cousins you're supposed to have. But, like, being top 10 out of 30 is already weird. And even then, like, you're 7th or 8th seed, babe. Like, I'm looking at way too many girls here.
For options.
You lied. And you listened to the show. You know who you are, Brod.
You're taking you to court.
It was like a real conversation. I was like, hey, you lied. You lied. Like, and it's not even perspective or, like, opinion. She is clearly way hotter than you.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
But I grew up since. And I will say my wife is the baddest in the bunch. I will say that.
Oh yeah, well that's all the news stories I have.
What are we talking about?
That's me covering the news. That's all I got. Now I got a to be or not to be. Let's get deep. I got you know what's unless you got something.
I got a quick stupid story. Not a stupid story, a story in the news. Monarch butterflies are now on the endangered species list.
What?
Right? But how can you be surprised when two times a fucking year, dude, they clog the 15 freeway with butterflies trying to cross the fucking freeway?
Oh, dude.
I've had to like ice in Michigan remove butterflies from my windshield.
The other day.
It's not a surprise.
I was driving down a freeway. And there was like four, they weren't like seagulls. They might've been doves. They've been lost at doves. You know, the doves you would use at weddings, like they know to come back somewhere. They were clearly lost. So what do you do when you're lost? You find the nearest freeway and just travel it. And that's what they were doing. So usually birds, they fly at a very high elevation.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers were in lane number two. I was in lane number three. I looked over and I was signaling to change lanes. And I couldn't because fucking doves were in the way.
You mean they were respecting the signal, bro?
They did not respect the signal. They were all over the place. They were drunk doves. They were going from lane one to lane three. It was awful.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe they just partied a little too much at the wedding. I would love if they had gotten pulled over for being in the carpool.
That's what they should have done.
I'd love to see the petty ass cop.
Yeah.
Listen here, duckos.
Fuck them monarchs and fuck them doves.
Right. And then we always think about the environmental fallout. Is there one if there's no more monarch butterflies? I know one, and I just thought of it. I didn't write this down before. Retarded bitches won't have a place to take selfies because they won't paint monarchs on walls anymore.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking someone like something in the Coachella genre of people. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's definitely an environmental impact.
You have to pick something else.
All right. I got a to be or not to be or let's get deep. Which one you
let's
want?
Let's get deep, bro. Getting deep.
Okay. So let's get deep. And this is a question that I thought of because I was inspired directly. Is it possible to have faith in someone you don't trust? Is there a difference?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I often have faith that bad people are going to succeed at the things they do.
Like the Joker and the bank heist?
Well, I trust that he'll pull off that bank heist. It's the fucking Joker. The Riddler? Yeah, not so much. There's a lot of people I don't trust that I know are going to do well. And I have faith that they'll pull off whatever ambitions that they have. Though those ambitions may be fueled by maliciousness, you know? And I actually am often caught in that dichotomy where it's like even this, like how I started the show, like Petty Officer Number One. Sometimes you can hurt me so bad, I will bask in your failure. And that's essentially what happened. This is being way more authentic than I was to start with, but that's because I don't like doing that. But I can have... Like, even that, I kind of had faith. I was wrong. I had faith. Faith and hope, similar, right?
I think so.
Okay, that they would fail. I feel like that's a let's get deep from one of our earlier seasons.
Maybe.
Faith and Hope, right? Didn't we talk about that? Maybe. Anyways, I had kind of hoped that they would fail, but I trusted they would pull it off, and then a curveball. But, yeah, I think I don't – to me, trust is what am I willing to have you hold for me, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, time with my family, food at my table, secrets, experiences.
Sure.
And then faith is like, how can I measure your ambition or my ambition?
Right. Yeah, I kind of took it as like, is it possible to have faith in someone you don't trust? Like, I don't trust you to do the right thing, or I don't trust you to do right by me. But I have faith that somewhere inside you're a good person.
Oh, I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking bad people get further than good people.
Well, that's exactly how you could take the question. The question is however you want to interpret it.
And then in that sense, though, I trust that you're going to be bad.
Ah.
Plot twist. You know, at the end of the day, like, if Pirates of the Caribbean ever taught me anything.
Okay. Life lessons from Pirates of the Caribbean.
There's a lot of them, but let me give you my one walk away. People are going to be themselves, whether it's today, a year from now, or 5 years from now. It's not that people can't evolve, but you need to find the worst parts of those people and make sure you're comfortable with that, because that will repeat.
That's true. That's a good point.
So the worst parts of me.
Where was that in Pirates of the Caribbean?
He had said something about, like, you trusted a pirate, I'm a pirate, you're fucked.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I'm going to be me. The one thing you can always trust is someone's going to be themselves.
Right, okay.
And it was and that's the first one. They're all good, but the really good one, you know, that fucking was. They changed the ride based on the movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, tangent again. No, what were we talking about? I'm just kidding. So, like, my wife, my family has had to deal with the worst parts about me is the way that I treat me. So they fell in love with the way that I treat people, and they know that I'll never harm them, go behind their back, that they know I'm not a thief. Right. But sometimes, you know, there's self-harm in me.
Sure.
And that initially is like an easy pill to swallow. But as time goes on, you go like, fuck, like the person I'm in love with has no trouble hurting themselves, and I can't get mad at nobody. So now I'm mad at the person that I love for essentially not doing anything wrong to no one. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
there it is. All right. That was a good one.
Nice. Did you hear about Ellen getting COVID?
Ellen got COVID?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, she got COVID for real.
That's cool.
But wasn't she just getting over a staph infection? I waited all episode for that one. I was like, where am I going to interject? Oh, shit, the show's going to end. I just got to do it.
Whatever you want. Okay, well, in the theme of the
holiday season. That's what she said.
In the theme of the holiday season, I wanted to address this particular to be or not to be, because it is near and dear to my heart.
All right, let's do it.
To be or not to be, fake Christmas trees.
Oh. For me, I'm not at the time and place in my life where they're a to be. But I will say that this one's not black and white.
Oh, it is
not. It's very. I mean, obviously, it's no B. You got to get a tree, right? Is that where we stand?
That's where I stand. Yeah, I mean,
that's where I stand.
There's trees all day.
Yeah, sometimes I think we're pretty solid, but then like right now, I was like, oh fuck, what if he's pro plastic? Yeah, but I can see instances in the future where you're like a senior citizen or something, where you just have a fucking tree and you box it up every year. And then, like, you don't do the lights. They're already in the fucking tree.
Yep.
I get it. But, yeah, also, let's think about the sick and twisted mind that invented those things. Why bring that to Earth, bro? That's like the nuclear bomb. You're like the Manhattan. Who's Mr. Manhattan? The guy who did it?
Oh, Dr. of the Manhattan Project?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a group of scientists in World War II.
Yeah, but there was one slime.
Sure.
Slime.
Give it your best
Slimer.
Shot.
No, anyways, he had said that he's like, I created death to all. I'm like, I'm God. And it was his biggest regret in life. And that mindset is the guy who makes plastic fucking trees.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? And it's contagious. Now we got tree-looking cell phone towers. That's not acceptable. You're not fooling me. That's probably why those doves were fucked up on the freeway the other day. They just landed on a cell phone tower that looked like a tree, got all buzzed up from 5G. Next thing you know, they're taking the freeway home.
Yeah, I think real Christmas trees are the way to go. Fake Christmas trees, not to be. But I understand. I get the convenience aspect of them. But that's it.
They don't. What about, is there an environmental cost to, I mean, the trees are grown to be cut down. We're not like taking innocent trees.
Right.
But what about dumping them? No, they evaporate, right? Or what is it called?
Decompose.
That's the word. Thanks, bro.
You're welcome.
Hey, I just had this funny idea. Oh. If those doves landed on a cell phone tower and picked up someone's GPS, and then they were doing the GPS that someone was just getting sent, they probably ended up at they ended up at another party. Like, where the fuck? Maybe they...
We're late for the next party. According to Google, it says we'll be there in 5 minutes.
Oh, that's so good. And they're like, quick, take the streets. Take the streets. We found a quicker route. Oh, man. I hope those doves made it wherever they were going, dude. I truly do. Not so much for the monarchs, but the doves.
At least the doves.
Yeah, definitely the doves, dude.
Well, that's all I got, man. You know what?
Oh, I got you know what, but my wife cut my dog's hair. And she did such a bad job, it changed his personality. Like, he is not happy.
Is he depressed?
No, he's not depressed. He's just like...
Well, be careful with your toxic positivity. Don't walk up to him, hey, it's going to be okay.
Oh, you know what my dog did say? I'm toxic. I am toxic positive to my dog. All right, I got a you know what, in all seriousness. You know what?
What?
Not you, but listeners, you should read.
Oh, man, I got a you know what that ties into this. Continue.
All right, and then I'm going to follow up with the you know why?
Okay, why?
Because every story's already been told. And oftentimes people get credit for intuition and having good hunches. And it's not that at all. It's just they're well-read.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, we've already flipped these pages. We've seen this episode. We've been through this chapter. If you're well-read, honestly, fiction, nonfiction, whatever, you're going to be better decision-maker overall.
I can see that.
Yeah. That's that one.
Cool. Hey, you know what?
What's that?
People should have an internal word bank that can only be replenished by reading.
There you go.
For all those people who talk way too damn much with no insight or direction, the overdrafts alone would shut people the fuck up.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what?
What?
iPhone users, I figured it out. Why they think they're better than Androids.
Oh, man. Please let me know, because they always try to pull this shit off me.
A recent statistic that came out said that iPhone users are 40% more likely to take selfies than Android users. This ties into the iPhone mentality. You're not seeing what the fuck you look like. Have you ever seen those iPhone pictures? They're all Photoshopped and filtered. Oh. Even the standard filterless iPhone picture, you don't look like that. You don't have an authentic grasp on what's going on around you. And that, unfortunately, waters the ego of iPhones better than Android, which at the end of the day is like, not a thing. It's not a thing. Your phone does not dictate if you're a better person than the person next to you. You fucking crazy person.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Hey, you know what?
What's that, my man?
Leaving your head in the sand leaves you ripe for a kick in the ass.
Ooh.
Yeah, I thought of that one the other day. I was like, ooh, that's a good one.
That's a really good one. Yeah, man. Have you heard my glass stomach one?
Glass stomach?
Yeah, I said, I told someone one time, I was like, you should get a glass stomach. That way in the morning you have to get your head out your ass. You know what, bro?
What?
Whoever was with your girl in middle school actually knows what her pussy smells like.
they're first.
Yeah, remember finger blasting in middle school? Oh!
Wow.
This show really, really.
I got one last one.
Get it.
Okay. Hey, you know what?
What's that, my man?
It's not about being right. It's about doing what's right.
There you go.
I think that's a really strong one. Especially, you know, leading in these times of information, disinformation, and everyone trying to prove that they're right. You know, don't try and prove that you're right about everything. As long as you're doing what's right by people, doing what's right by yourself, you can't go wrong. Don't worry if people agree with you or not.
That's got to be hard for shallow people in times of social media, right? They can never do anything without like going like this with their phone in front of homeless people. I give a dollar. Like, you know, it's like just fucking do well.
Yeah.
Like every day, put it out. If we all did a little bit better, the world would be exponentially better.
Agreed.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Agreed.
My last, you know what is, you sick fucks, you're spoiled to another free episode. Put some money in the bank. And, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of which, so I'm going to be moving soon. And,
yes, sir.
Because I'm doing that, I got to put away all my computer shit and whatnot. So there's a good possibility that the show's going to be missing for a little bit. We're going to try and keep it going. We talked about it a little bit before we started the show. We have a plan. But as with all plans, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, hopefully my laptop doesn't catch COVID.
A computer virus?
Yeah, right?
I wonder if there is a computer COVID. I wonder if a hacker has thought to name a virus COVID.
Isn't it weird that computers name the viruses for computers are called Trojans, but what protects us from viruses are Trojan condoms?
The world will never know.
Yeah, it's like the good and the bad. It's like white spy versus black spy, you know?
But yeah, so happy holidays. And hey, what are you looking forward to in 2021?
I cannot wait for our first next party, whatever it is. Like kids' birthday parties, whatever, you know? Whatever. Social distance, whether – I think St. Patrick's Day – like let's be fair. Let's talk about it. Let's be real for a minute. We've been real for 50 – no, I don't think it's on the table. Like I don't think we'll be ready by March, right?
I personally don't think so as well.
I don't think so either. I think our realistic next party, maybe Halloween, hopefully Christmas. But, you know, like, hey, dude, maybe it's a summer solstice party. If everything works out, everybody gets the vax, both shots, and it's straight. You know, like, maybe we can have something in June. But I don't fucking see St. Patrick's Day happening, bro.
You're right. I'm hopeful that, you know, 2021... I don't, you know, 2020 was such a kick in the face, man. I'm just not going to even try to dare what we're hopeful for. I had so many plans for 2020, for the show, for the company.
I burned all the calendars in the house, burned every calendar.
So I think at this point for 2021, I just want to continue to do what's right. Just like I said, I have no desire to be right. I just want to do what's right. And just continue. I just want to survive.
You know, and I don't want to do anything where everybody involved is not comfortable. I don't want to do anything where one person is the slightest bit uncomfortable because truth be told, sir, it's my ego that tells me I got to be the one to make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So if you come uncomfortable, I got no room to work, right. You know? So the next thing we do is everybody involved has to be super like about it.
Yeah.
And then I'll say fucked up shit there, you know?
Yeah, that space is reserved and.
Yeah, absolutely.
The parking spot.
Yep. But I love you. I love your family. I hope y'all are well. Listeners, thanks for following us down another hour.
Yep. And we'll see you guys soon. So as always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. Before we go, want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. And together we can do much better than what we've done so far in 2020, make 2021 just a hair better. If we can do that, that's a win, I think. My name's Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion, and we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast. If not next week, at the very least, sometime next year.
Soon. I shit you not, dude. I'm like Pavlov's dog. I bet you if you go back in all our episodes, the minute you start with, as you know, I drink. Every fucking time. I bet you if we go back to our YouTube videos, if we go back to doing it in the Covina house, if we go back to doing it at MTL, I just realized it. Every time you go, as you know, I go, oh, it's my turn to drink.
I have time.
This is where I shut the fuck up. But anyways, you make my mouth water. Thanks, baby.
That's the third nicest thing.